question I want to ask you today could be the most important one you hear. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? It's one thing for me, a religion professor, to stand here and ask you that in the relative calm and unthreatening atmosphere of morning chapel. What if that same question came to you from a curious friend or neighbor, someone who didn't know much about Jesus? Why should that person believe in him? Why should anyone? In part, we can answer this on the basis of what the Bible says about faith and how it comes to exist in a person's heart. You believe, I believe, only because God has caused it, caused you and me to hear, accept, and trust His saving truth as told to us in the Bible. Why should a person believe in Jesus as the Savior? The Lord had to answer that in His day, and the question was framed more like this: why should the Jewish people back then, including the religious leaders, accept Him as the Messiah sent from heaven, who also had a legitimate authority to clear out the temple of noisy trespassers, something He did twice, and to do certain miracles on the Sabbath day? We read in John 5 how Jesus healed a guy on the Sabbath in Jerusalem and got major flack for it. There was serious pushback, including a charge of blasphemy leveled against him. In that same chapter, we hear his defense, which ends up turning away from what he had to say about himself and pointing instead to four other very strong witnesses. He was willing to collaborate his claim with so-called independent sources. Witness number one in the defense of Christ was John the Baptist. John makes a very good witness for Jesus when you understand John's mission. He was sent by God ahead of the Christ to get people ready to receive their Messiah. And then, in one last very important final act, John would publicly identify Jesus as that one come to be the Savior. John was the special forerunner, pointing exclusively to Jesus of Nazareth, as foretold in two prophecies, Isaiah 40 and Malachi 3. For his second witness, Jesus kicked it up a notch in John 5:36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. He refers to his actions, his works, which would include all those miracles, which no one disputed as happening. They knew they were true. How he healed people, no matter what the disease was. How he cast out demons so decisively. His works would also encompass the fact that he lived a perfect life, never breaking any of God's commandments. Yet as impressive as these things were in and of themselves, his works would not yet be complete until he reached the pinnacle, the summit, going to the cross with all of our sins, the sins of the world, making full restitution there through his death, causing them to be forgiven, and sealing that victory through his resurrection from the grave. Yes, that would be the greatest work of all. Now realize that Jesus could do none of these things unless God had truly sent him and given him his complete backing. Yes, The Lord, as witness number three, turns to his Father and says in John 5:37, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me." The testimony of the Father would happen on two occasions. At his baptism of Christ in the Jordan River, the Father would speak out loud from heaven and give his Son a resounding, impressive midterm report card, an A+, in these words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He would say that again at the Mount of Transfiguration. The first testimony was heard by John the Baptist. The second was heard by the apostles Peter, James, and John. At this point in his defense, the Lord could rest his case. He had met the Bible's requirement of two or three witnesses to establish the truth of the matter. But he chooses to add one more, the fourth, in John 5:39. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." He was talking about the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah. Whoever the Messiah turned out to be would need to fulfill all of them, which Jesus did. He passed the prophecies test, and he had the backing of God the Father. He did those incredible works, and he had the testimony of John the Baptist. Now let's notice how Jesus has taken these four witnesses and used them as a legitimate way to persuade people who did not believe in him at the time. A missionary tool in his hands, which we can use as well when that question comes our way. Why do you believe in Jesus? Those same four witnesses can help you be sure about the certainty of it all, the truth of what we learn in the gospel. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. I have four reasons from Him why it's true. It's just like the lyric in the children's song that we know well. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." We thank God for making it so for us, for all who join us in the faith of hearing His Word, the gospel of Christ, which all by itself is the certainty of our salvation. Amen. Before singing our hymn, we go to God in prayer for Mr. John Fox, who had knee surgery yesterday. We pray. Heavenly Father, we ask the blessing of your comfort on John's heart. Assure him, first of all, that he is your dear child, you are his loving Father, and that you have provided for his soul his greatest need through your Son, our Savior. During his time of recovery, bless him with healing to his body. In accord with your will, bring him back here to his work that he may serve you with strength, serve you here at Emmanuel. And we join in praying for him because of our Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us close our worship singing stanza 1 and 3 of hymn 370. 370, stanza 1 and 3.